Our Bible reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish, in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is God's word.
It is good to be amongst friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me just lead us in prayer. Father, open your word, reveal to us the nature of your kingdom, and help us to conform as people who seek to live in that kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I met a fellow named Abbas. About 5-6 years ago, he paid about $12,000. He was a taxi driver in Afghanistan. He paid about $12,000 to somebody. They transported him to Indonesia. When he was in Indonesia, he then got put on a boat which came towards Australia and was intercepted by the Australian Navy, from where he was taken to Christmas Island and put in detention. He left behind a wife and family. Abbas is Hazari, Afghanistan. Hazaris are Afghan Chinese, they call them. They've been established in the land since the time of Genghis Khan, but they are the most despised and hated of all the tribal groups in Afghanistan. Everybody dislikes the Hazari. They are persecuted. The Hazari are traditionally Shiite Muslims. Most of Afghan Muslims are Sunni. And so the Hazari get persecuted heavily. I believe there's BBC reports that even around Kabul in the past 18 months, about 20,000 Hazari have been slaughtered by Sunni Muslims. Abbas wanted a better life. He took huge risks. He spent a month on Christmas Island, 6 months in Darwin in detention. He was released, went down to Adelaide, worked for about 4 or 5 years until one night the border people surrounded his house and arrested him. He was put back in detention, sent back to Darwin, off to Perth. And then finally he was released again. He's now in Sydney. He's trying to get permanent residency. His visa runs out in about a month and a half's time. He doesn't know what's happening to him. He has made huge sacrifices for a new kingdom. Where he was living was hard. Where his family, his wife and children, who he hasn't seen for 5 years, are living, it's very dangerous. I've got another Afghani friend, an Uzbeki. He says in the time in his second trip to Darwin, he became a Christian. Long, long story. He was baptized by Casuarina Baptist Church. He's told Afghanis he's a Christian. He was told by his immigration lawyer, who's Afghani, you shouldn't have become a Christian. If he goes back, my other friend says he will, 2 or 3 weeks, he'll be dead. He's Hazari, he's traditionally Shiite, and now a believer in Jesus Christ. He wanted a better life in a new kingdom. He made enormous sacrifices. And Abbas's story is a story that could be repeated by many people, probably some even in this room today. What value do you put on a more secure nation like Australia. But let me ask, does it really matter, all that sacrifice? Well, if you lived in Syria or if you're a Hazara in Afghanistan, maybe the risk is worth it. What if you're living in New Zealand? You know, let's jump on a boat and see if we can just make it across the Tasman for a better life in Australia. Is the risk worth it? I lived in New Zealand for 3 years when I was working. It's a pretty good place to live. Matthew chapter 13 is a series of parables. They're tales of the king and the kingdom. They're all about the kingdom of heaven and how valuable it is. There's this tale of the story of the sower who sows the seeds. There's the story of the weeds growing up in the field together. There's the kingdom of heaven's like this. The kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven's like yeast within a batch of dough. This phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, is repeated 6 times in chapter 13, 3 times in the passage that we're looking at today. Jesus is teaching his disciples about his kingdom. He's using parables, stories. And these last four in this reading really ask the question, does the kingdom really matter? Is it that important? What would you pay for it? Maybe you're better staying as you are. Is it worth the risk? And what is the risk anyway? To become a Christian? Is it worth the risk of us to come to Australia? Is it worth the risk to follow Jesus? In each one of these parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's something that you really should want. You want to have a part of the kingdom. Because actually, Jesus says, it really does matter. And if something really matters, you should want to possess it. 2 simple parables make this point. First is verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Now, this is a reality in ancient times, to secure your wealth. In fact, it's not even necessarily ancient times. I've got a friend, Jerry, in our church, who was a young teenager during the Second World War. When they thought the Germans were coming over the border into the Czech Republic, his fairly wealthy family took their treasures and buried them under the beehive. Because what else are you going to do with them? Put them in the bank? Leave them on the shelf? When the Nazis come, bury them in the field. They buried them. They never found them again. You know, they went looking. They weren't there. Or they misplaced where the beehive was. So this is a real story. This is probably a day laborer plowing in the field and coming upon buried treasure. And he says, this is rich. This is good. What do you do? Well, I can't take it with me. I don't own the field. It's not mine. So what he does, he puts it back in the ground. He goes out and he sells everything he has. Everything, and he goes and he buys that field. So when he digs up that treasure, it belongs to him. He puts it all on the line. There's 100% commitment. He invests 1,000. But his hope is that he will return 10,000. Whoopee! This is great. Now, to the outsider, it all looks crazy. Here you are, a day laborer. You're in the field now. You're selling everything and buying a field. You're selling everything. But it's not crazy at all. Because the return is worth it. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's worth it. You throw everything in to possess it because the return is worth it. In fact, it's wise. It's smart. You'd be crazy not to. Jim Elliot, the missionary who was martyred, who lost his life, taking the gospel to Ecuador's Quechua Indians, very famous quote. You've probably heard it before, many of you. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool. Second parable is quite similar. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The rock band U2's been said to be the biggest rock band in the world. Its lead singer Bono has said, "I'm incredibly insecure. If I don't have 10,000 people screaming my name, I think, what's wrong with me? I feel insecure." How insecure is that? I had that song, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I've climbed, I've searched, but I still haven't got that satisfaction. Haven't found what I'm looking for." That's what this parable's about. This is not an accident. This man is a pearl merchant. He is on the hunt all the time, always looking, until one day he comes upon the most spectacular pearl he has ever seen that far exceeds all others. And he says, "This is the one." Unlike our day labourer, he is a man of means. He is a man of capital. He trades, he buys, he sells. But he gives up everything else to possess this one pearl. So valuable, so unique is it. He has found what he's looking for and he must have it. And we're all searching. We're all traders. We're looking for hope. We're searching for meaning, for forgiveness, for life and love and purpose and satisfaction. And we all catch bits and pieces here and there, but they never quite satisfy. I never quite feel forgiven enough. I never quite feel hopeful or purposeful or successful enough. But when you find the pearl of great value, that's worth it all because you've found what you've been looking for. It satisfies. You give everything up because it's worth it. It's what you were made for. It's what you were looking for. This was the experience of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. He tells everybody how he's had so much as a Jew. "I have reason for confidence. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, in this world I have more. Why, as a Jew, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews." Man, I was Mr. Jewish boy, Jewish boy. "In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. I was the best, man. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, doing the right thing as a Jew, I was faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ, the pearl of greatest price, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." I want to know Christ. I want to know more of him and more of the power of his resurrection and even more of the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, that I might become conformed to his likeness. I've given everything up with joy to know Christ. Now, note this pearl of great price issue. You won't have it unless you give the lot up. So I challenge and ask, what's it costing you to lay hold of the kingdom? How urgent a matter is it for you to lay hold of the kingdom of Jesus? What value do you put on the pearl? Is it worth it? Does it matter? According to Jesus, who many of you profess to follow, it matters more than anything else in the world. So there you are. You've given up everything to buy the field or to possess the pearl. You've given up everything, and now you have it. What do you do? I've got this pearl, the best pearl. What do I do? Well, it seems to me to make sense that now that you have it, the best thing you can do is to guard it because you want to keep possessing it. You need to protect it because it's worth everything. My guess is most of you take out insurance. And pardon, I just shake my head. Take out insurance. You know what insurance is? My green slip, every year, $800. I get a green piece of paper. And I have that green piece of paper for a whole year. And at the end of the year, my green piece of paper is completely worthless, and I buy another green piece of paper. And I do the same with my house. I do the same with my car. I get a piece of paper, maybe an email. And then I throw it away because it's worthless, and I buy another one. Why would anybody do that? That's stupid. I'll sell you a piece of paper for $50 if you want. I've got one here. You do it because you're protecting the value of something that you do value. You say, I'm taking out insurance because this is worth it. Jesus' next parable highlights the value of the kingdom. Is it really worth it? Is it important? And the absolute necessity that you guard or protect the kingdom. It's a fishing parable. It's quite different to the other two except for the first line. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad fish away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Most parables have a simple point. The simple point of this parable is that there will be a decisive day of judgment. This is important. This really matters because on that day, make sure you possess the kingdom, that you are in the kingdom, because if you are not, there will be fierce judgment. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, says Jesus of Nazareth. Your life matters. It's a great treasure. It's worth taking out insurance. It's worth protecting that to be on the king's side, to possess the kingdom on the day of judgment. Now, if you're going to do that, like taking out insurance, you need to first be fully persuaded of the value of the object. Because if you think the object, your life for eternity is valuable, then you'll be willing to pay the price to protect it, to possess it. The problem is too many people are not fully persuaded of the value of the kingdom of Jesus. We're like people in a marketplace. We pick up the gospel, we pick up Jesus Christ, turn him around. Do you reckon this will look good on the sideboard? That's quite good. Turn it around. Oh, look at the price. It's pretty expensive. Is it worth it? You toss it to and fro. How about we haggle for the price? What if I become a Christian, but I don't give up my bitterness with my sister-in-law? I don't give up my greed. I don't give up my porn. I don't give up my... Because I don't want to give those things up. Let's see if we can get the price down a little bit. Because I'm in control and I determine the outcome and I make the choices, and we toss the gospel around. Because I'm sovereign. You know what? I think it's a bit expensive. I don't think we need it now. Back on the stool. Walk away. Look at the parable of the net. Yes, the kingdom will cost you everything, but you need the kingdom. And the return far exceeds the price paid, and you are crazy not to give up everything to possess the kingdom of heaven and to guard it till the end. Does it matter? It matters more than anything to be in the kingdom where Jesus reigns as Lord Supreme. It matters more than anything else in life because the judgment will be real. The kingdom of heaven matters more than study, than marriage, than career, or your home, or your car, or your fame, or status, or the accolades and awards you might receive. The kingdom of heaven matters more than life, for indeed the kingdom is life. And hope and peace and love and meaning and forgiveness and purpose and satisfaction. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, the disciples replied. Yes, we've understood the parables of the kingdom. Not everybody says yes. In fact, very few say yes. Jesus has some teaching earlier in this chapter about that. Most people don't get it. Jesus spoke these parables for those who would say, yes, we get it. For those in the kingdom. Now, what should they do? Jesus' last parable is the most cryptic of all. You probably even missed it in the Bible reading. But it is perhaps the most important of all the parables, particularly if you're someone who says, yes, I get it. Because this parable is for you. Jesus said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. That may well be your parable this morning. See, if you say yes to Jesus, yes, I understand, then you have a responsibility to share the treasure entrusted to you. Imagine you're an art collector, a wealthy, wealthy art collector, and you buy these masterpieces. You buy the Rembrandts, you buy the Monets, you buy the Picassos, and you take them to your mansion, and you take them down, and they did this, the Nazis did this, lots of people do this, people do this today, and they take them down to their air-conditioned cellar, and they put them in racks, and they fold them up, and they shut the door. And they look at their balance sheet. It may be once a year, or every 6 months, they go down, and they open up, and they look through their art. Oh, there's my Monet. Imagine you're a wealthy art collector with lots of money, and you buy masterpieces, Rembrandts and Monets and Picassos, the old and the new, and you love this artwork, and you build this magnificent art gallery with lots of space and light and clean walls, and you invite people to come to your art gallery so that they may gaze upon the Monet and the Rembrandt and the Picasso and see the wonder of this art. That's what Jesus is saying. If you have the secrets of the kingdom, if the treasure has been received by you and you've got the pearl of greatest price, is it on display? Sharing both the old and the new, or have you hidden it away in your house? Are you sharing the promise and the hope and the fulfillment of the kingdom seen in Jesus? Are you sharing this free gift with joy that others might also find the treasure in the field and say, "This is rich, whoopee! This is my day, I'm going to give everything up for it." Are you sharing it so that they also might find what they've been looking for, and so that the angels in heaven might rejoice, and so that you might rejoice that others have come to possess the kingdom? Or are you hiding it away? See, as a church, I say this at Penel, I'll say this here. And I think I even hinted at it in my interview with Scott. We need to be raising up people who can bring out the treasures of the Scriptures. The gospel of Jesus Christ revealed in both the old and the new. We need people to understand the Bible story, that others might find treasure and grow in that treasure and secure that treasure and find eternal life, because the greatest treasure in all the earth is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads to the pursuit of our greatest joy and our eternal happiness. We've got to be raising up people to expose the Scriptures. We've got to be training each one of us to expose the story of Jesus, the new and the old. Well, here we go. There's the four parables of the kingdom. You may think, well, they're a bit selfish, aren't they? Receive Jesus, get the treasure because it's a good investment. Receive Jesus because then you'll feel satisfied. Receive Jesus because you need an insurance policy against the judgment. Isn't that a bit selfish? John Piper, a Baptist preacher from the States, which many of you would have heard of, has a few famous quotes. Let me quote from him. "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When we pursue the kingdom with passion, that's when he's glorified." He says the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying God forever. God wants your highest joy. He wants you to have the treasure. He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to be happy. John Piper again, "The desire to be happy is a proper motive for every good deed, and if you abandon the pursuit of your own joy, you cannot love man or please God." C.S. Lewis, "It is a Christian duty, as you know, for everyone to be as happy as he can." Jesus says your greatest happiness is found in resolute, life-sacrificing pursuit of the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God. Do that and you will find your greatest joy. If you are outside of the kingdom, if you haven't yet taken hold of the pearl or dug up the treasure, can I encourage you to give it all up? Because you will not find what you're looking for without Jesus. And lay hold of the greatest prize, because you cannot quite simply afford not to. You cannot take the risk. Without Jesus, you are God's enemy. You are against him. And judgment will come. And with Jesus, you have everything. If you are inside the kingdom, if you've taken the hold of the purpose, I tell you what, here's the thing. You, like me, as I was sharing earlier, you're struggling for joy and hope and purpose. And the reason you're still struggling is because you haven't given everything up for Jesus. you will discover as you do, as I am trying to discover as I do, that he does reward. He is faithful to his promise. And actually no price is too high to pay. He calls us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices that we might be full of happiness. You see, the kingdom of heaven really matters. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That is the way of the kingdom. That is the normal Christian life. Or, to quote Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again and went, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Amen.